If you have your Bibles, let me encourage you to open them to John chapter 6. This past weekend, I know some of y'all don't care about this, and I can't figure out why you don't care about it. This past weekend was the start of one of the greatest seasons of the year. Football season. It's back. Hey, let's do this. Let's do a little experiment here. Ready? I'm going to say something, and you don't know what I'm going to say yet, but I want you to say what I want you to say after I say the something I'm going to say. Does that make sense? Sort of. Here we go. M-I-Z. There you go. Well done. Listen, on Thursday night, the Missouri Tigers, what's the word I'm looking for? Annihilated. Killed. Shellacked the Central Arkansas Bears with a score of 61-6. Now, I know those are two very different programs, but Mizzou, they looked pretty good. If they could play teams like Central Arkansas our year, they might. And I don't want to talk about the Alabama game. All I'm going to say is this. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Here's the thing I want you to know. I'm a Mizzou fan. I like Mizzou. I root for Mizzou. I will pay money to go to their football games. I'll pay money to go to their basketball games. I root for them. I even have a Mizzou hat. I have Mizzou shirts. I like Mizzou. But there is a problem in my world. Because you see, on Saturday, October the 11th, I'm going to be faced with a choice. The Alabama Crimson Tide are going to roll on into town, and they're going to kick off against the Mizzou Tigers at 11 a.m. on Saturday, October the 11th. And the problem is, I like them both, but they're both playing each other. And you might think, well, that's going to be an easy choice for you. I mean, this is a year where it looks like Mizzou's going to be pretty good, and a year where it looks like Bama's going to struggle a bit, so that ought to be an easy choice, who you're going to root for, and yeah, you would be right. It is an easy choice. I will be rooting for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide, brothers and sisters, roll Tide. I'll take this off before. I've never been booed in church before, but I'm close right now. I am close. Hey, in sports, you pick your team, right? You pick the team you want to root for, and you stick with your team. I've been a Bama fan since I was 3 years old. I promise you, I'm not a bandwagon fan. Since I was 3 years old, I've been a Bama fan, so it's easy for me to choose to root for Bama. There's a lot of things in life that you can choose. You can choose who you root for. You can choose where you live. You can choose where you work. You can choose who you marry. You can choose how you spend your time. You can choose how you spend your money. You can even choose how you spend your life. I love the Old Testament story of Joshua. It's one of my favorite stories. When Moses died, Moses left behind some pretty big shoes to be filled. And it was Joshua who had to fill those shoes. And you'll remember Joshua at first was, he was afraid, he was scared, nervous, anxious, all of the things. And the Lord told him two things: be strong and courageous. And Joshua made a choice on that day to do exactly that. He spent his life boldly living out for the Lord in both courage and strength. And it was near the end of Joshua's life, so many years had passed near the end of his life, that he stood before the Israelite people and he told them about the choice that they had. I want to read it to you. Joshua 24, it begins in verse 14. Here's what Joshua says, standing before the Israelites. Here's what he says: "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household," Joshua said, "we will serve the Lord." That word "choose" there in verse 15 that I read, that's a word that means to examine, to consider, and then to come to a conclusion, to make a choice. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. My brothers and sisters, today I stand before you in the same way that Joshua stood before his people. And I remind you, I encourage you, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me, and as for my wife, as for my son, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. You want to know why we will serve the Lord? Because we have come to know that Jesus is Lord. We have come to know that the God of the Bible is the God of all creation. We have come to know that the God of the Bible didn't just create all things, but He holds all things together. Our God is the God who gives us the very breath that we're breathing right now that sustains our life. Our God has been with us in the pits of despair. When no one else was there, our God was there. We know God. We've served God. We've seen God do incredible things in our life. And if we left God, where else would we go? Like if we left Him, what else would we do? We made a choice to follow God. And now that we've decided, chosen to follow God, we would be fools if we walked away. My friends, today, over the next few minutes, 20, 25 minutes, you will be faced with a bold choice. You will be given two options. You can choose to walk away from God, or you can choose to walk with Him. Choose this day whom you will serve. Today, you're going to see two options that you have in life, and you have to make a decision. John chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 60. If you have your Bibles open, let me invite you to stand as we honor the public reading of God's Word. John chapter 6, starting in verse 60, and we'll end at the end of the chapter, verse 71. John chapter 6, verse 60, here's what God's Word says. Therefore, when many of His disciples heard this, they said, "This teaching is hard. Who can accept it?" Jesus, knowing in Himself that His disciples were grumbling about this, asked them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where He was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and the one who would betray Him. He said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to Me unless it's granted to him by the Father." Verse 66, from that moment, many of His disciples turned back and no longer accompanied Him. So Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that You are the Holy One of God." Jesus replied to them, "Didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for the day, grateful that You are here with us today. I pray, God, that the power of Your Holy Spirit would lighten dark hearts. Father, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit would enlighten Your Word. Help us to see Your Word. Help us to know Your Word. And then, Father, I pray You would help us to live out Your Word. I pray that today as we preach, as I preach through this text, as a sermon is heard, Father, I pray that You would help us, give us strength, give us boldness to be able to say, "I am choosing Jesus." Father, if there's those in the room or those joining on Facebook or YouTube who don't know You as Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they repent of their sin and trust in You. And Father, for those of us who do know You as Lord and Savior, I pray that You would help us today to remember the gospel and to choose this day to serve You. Father, we love You. We thank You for what You're going to do here this morning, and we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Two options. You can walk away, or you can walk with God. Here's the first option. Unbelievers, here's what unbelievers do. Unbelievers use bold accusations to justify walking away from Jesus. That's exactly what happened in the text that we just read. The crowd had heard Jesus. We saw this last week. The crowd had heard Jesus say two things that greatly offended them. The first thing was this: Jesus claimed to come down from heaven. That offended them. That caused them to stumble. That's what that word offend means. Jesus said he came down from heaven. The second thing that offended them was that Jesus said that he was the bread of life. And then he went on to say, if you want to live forever, if you want eternal life, you have to feast from the bread of life. He said something strange, which we'll get to in a minute, that you have to feast on the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man. And they were horrified by that, offended by that. And so they made a bold accusation to Jesus. Look at it, verse 60. Here's what they said. Here's what the Bible says. When many of his disciples heard this, heard that talk that Jesus just gave, heard those two levels of defense, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is what? What does your Bible say? Hard. This teaching is hard. Who can accept it? The bold accusation that the believers made, or unbelievers made on this day was this. This teaching is too hard. Like, Jesus is asking way too much from us. Who can do this? And I love how Jesus responds to it. He responds to their bold accusation by doing two things. First, he confronted their unbelief. And second, he clarified what he said. He confronted their unbelief by effectively saying this. He says this, if you're offended by what I say, then you're going to be doubly offended by what I do. Look what he says in verse 62. He says, are you offended by this? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? What if you see me going home? If what I say has offended you when I said that I came from heaven, then when you see me go back into heaven, you're really going to be offended. He confronted their unbelief, and then he clarified what he said. Look back in your Bibles, just a few verses. I want to show you some odd verses. We just mentioned them a few minutes ago. Look back at verse 53. Are your eyes on 53? Here's what Jesus said. Listen to the oddness of this verse. So Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, unless you... is my Bible right? Do you see that? Verse 53. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because, verse 55, my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. We can agree, those are some odd verses, right? They're odd verses if you take them out of context. They're odd verses if you isolate the context of what Jesus was saying, remove those words from the context, then yeah, you're going to walk away thinking, that's weird. Listen, Jesus is not saying that you literally have to eat his flesh and drink his blood to have eternal life. That's not what he's saying. Jesus was not talking about physical nourishment. He was talking about spiritual nourishment. He wasn't saying they had to eat their flesh. No one would ever conclude that you have to eat the right thigh of Jesus if you want to live forever. No one would ever conclude that you have to drink a cup of Jesus' blood to live forever. We speak the same way today. Hey, remind me again, when Mizzou played Central Arkansas, what'd they do to him? Annihilated them, right? They killed them. Now, I'm 100% correct in what I just said. The score was 61-6. They annihilated them. They killed them. Raise your hand if you think the University of Missouri stood up and literally killed the University of Central Arkansas. We've got one. We've got two. Y'all ruined my illustration. I just want you to know. No, I'm kidding. Listen, those are figurative statements, right? Like, man, Mizzou killed them. Alabama would have killed... Well, never mind. Those are figurative statements. They're not literal statements. Jesus isn't saying literally to eat his flesh. He's talking about spiritual nourishment, not physical nourishment. And he clarifies it. Look at verse 63. This is where he clarifies it. The Spirit is the one who gives life. You want eternal life? The Spirit's the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you our spirit and our life. And I believe what happened on this day was that the crowd invented a reason to walk away from Jesus by intentionally misunderstanding what he said. They separated the words of Christ from the context in which he delivered them, and then they used their invented reason to justify walking away from Jesus. And the same exact thing happens today. Remember their accusation? This was their accusation. This teaching is too hard. Jesus is asking too much of me. Who can do this? Hey, hear me when I say this. Jesus is not asking too much of you. Jesus could ask for your very life, and it's not too much. Hey, do you know what it costs to raise a child in Missouri today? The most recent numbers I could find were from 2023. There was a 2025 study, but it wasn't very reputable. In 2023, a study was done. How much do you think it costs per year to raise a child? Any guesses? What do you think? $19,498 per year in Missouri to raise a child. So listen to me. If you're a kiddo or a teenager in the room today, your mama is not asking too much of you when she asks you to take out the trash. Your mama's not asking too much of you when she asks you to clean your room or put the dishes away. Your daddy's not asking too much of you when he asks you to mow the yard. You have been given a place to call home, and it costs you nothing. And it costs your parents a lot. $19,000 a year. And you have a place that you get to call home. You see where I'm going with this? Jesus is not asking too much of you when he asks you to serve in the church. Hey, Jesus isn't asking too much of you when he asks you to come to church. He's not asking too much of you when he's asking you to share the gospel with your neighbor. He's not asking too much of you when he asks you to go around the world to share the gospel. He's not asking too much from you when he asks you to fund a mission trip. He's not asking too much of you when he calls you to give up your life and use it in service to him for the sake of the gospel. He's not asking too much from you. Why? Because you've been given a home. You have a home in heaven, and it costs you nothing. Jesus paid the price for that. He paid the price for us to be able to live with him forever in a place called home. And we turn around and have the audacity to say, this is too hard. Who can follow this Jesus? And when we begin to walk down that road, man, when we begin to say, God's ways are just too hard for us, the end result is not very far away. And here's the end result. Look in your Bibles. John chapter 6, verse 66. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Hey, if you're looking for a reason to walk away from the Lord, if you're looking for a reason why you can't follow the Lord, there's your pattern. Just pretend like following Jesus is too hard. Forget about the gospel and what he's done for you. Act like it's too much. Maybe invent a reason and then use that reason to justify walking away. That's the pattern in John chapter 6. But my friends, it does not have to be that way. Choose this day whom you will follow. You can walk away, or you can do what Peter did. Unbelievers use bold accusations to justify walking away from Jesus, but believers, they use bold answers to joyfully walk with Jesus. In this passage, like, you can almost feel the tension in this passage. In my mind, there's a big open area. Just imagine this church filled with let's say, 1,000 people. There were likely more than that here in this story. Imagine it filled with people. Imagine Jesus is on the floor here, and the 12 disciples are behind him. And as Jesus is clarifying, as Jesus is confronting their unbelief and clarifying what he said, throngs of people just get up and start leaving. Throngs of people just stand up. And when they stand up, they're grunting and they're shaking their fist. Oh, who can follow this Jesus? And in my mind's eye, the way I see this playing out, Jesus is watching them all leave. And when they've all left, in my mind's eye, what I hear is total silence. Like, you could hear a pin drop in this room. And then in my mind's eye, what I see is Jesus turning to the 12, and look in your Bibles, verse 67, turning to the 12 and saying, "You don't want to leave too, do you?" Like you feel the tension in that room? You don't want to leave too, do you? Everybody else is gone. Hey, Jesus is asking you the same question today. You don't want to go away too, do you? You know what I see here in this passage? I see a real life example of the pressures that will come your way if you decide to follow Jesus. Hear me when I say this. If you follow Jesus, you will face a day when you have to make a decision. And if you decide to follow Jesus, the day will come when the crowd will leave. And the crowd themselves, those in the crowd, will begin to accuse you of believing an outdated, archaic, and barbaric thing. They'll accuse you of being a fool for following this Jesus. You'll be ridiculed. You'll be written off as ignorant. And you're going to feel like you're all alone. And you'll be tempted to join the crowd. You don't want to leave too, do you? Look at Peter's bold answer. Look at it, verse 68. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Peter's answer reveals that he fully understood who Jesus was. He fully understood there was no one else on earth like Jesus. To whom would we go? Listen, if you leave Jesus, if you walk away from Jesus, where are you going to go? There's no one else on earth who has the words of eternal life. You can search far and wide and you won't find anyone else who can do for you what Jesus can do for you. Amen. You can search for Buddha and you're going to come up empty. He can't do for you what Jesus can do for you. You can go to Islam and you're going to come up empty. Islam cannot do for you what Jesus can do for you. You can turn to atheism. There is no God. You will come up empty because that can't do for you what Jesus can do for you. Peter gives two verbs in verse 69, those action words. See if you can find them. Look in your Bible, verse 69. Do you see the two verbs? We have come to what? What's the first one? Believe. We have come to believe. And what's the second one? And to? No, we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. They trusted in Jesus. They believed. They put their faith in Jesus. We believe. And they have come to know by experience. They've seen Him do things that only God could do. We've come to believe and know that you're the Holy One of God. Peter had a bold, bold answer. But he made one major mistake. Can you find it? Look in your Bible, verse 69. Look at the mistake he made. Do you see it? He used the word "we." You see that? We have come to believe, and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And that "we" included who? Judas. Peter spoke for the 12. But one of the 12, according to Jesus, was a devil. That's what Jesus says. Look in your Bible, verse 70. "Didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." Verse 71 says he was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. What a tragic, tragic passage of Scripture. It's a heavy passage. Let me share with you very quickly as we bring it to a close. Let me share with you very quickly three points of application for this message. Three ways that you can apply what we've learned today to your life this week and hopefully every week, every day for the rest of your life. Here's the first point of application. We should avoid the mistake of walking away from Jesus. Here is the sad reality. And here's where my pastor heart shatters. And Bob, I know, how many years have you been in ministry? 40? 40 years. I know you've felt this. Here's where my pastor heart shatters. I know without a shadow of a doubt that some of you in this room today, you will not be here 1 year from now. You won't be here to worship. You won't be here to pray. You won't be here to serve. You won't be here to bear burdens. You won't be here to bless others. You won't be here to be blessed by others. And it won't be because you've moved away. We rejoice in that. We rejoice if you move away. But that won't be the reason why. And it won't be because you've passed away. It'll be because you've walked away. Choose this day whom you will serve. We should avoid the mistake of walking away from Jesus. Secondly, we should avoid the tragedy of Judas. John MacArthur referred to this as the tragedy of tragedies. The tragedy of all tragedies. Of course, it's tragic when someone walks away, but there's an extra level of tragedy in the story of Judas. Because, you see, Judas hung around Jesus. Judas, he hung around Jesus' people. He would have been a great choir member. By the way, we're starting choir practice September the 10th. Judas would have been a great choir member. Lori, Judas would have been a great finance committee member. Judas would have served as a wonderful deacon. Judas hung around Jesus. He witnessed all the miracles. He knew all the doctrine. He saw all the things. He heard all the sermons. He even watched as the throngs of people walked away from Jesus that day. And he had a tragic ending. He hung out with Jesus, but according to Jesus, he belonged to the devil. That's what he said in verse 70. One of you is a devil. That's a tragedy of tragedies. Choose this day whom you will serve. We should avoid the mistake of walking away. We should avoid the tragedy of Judas. And listen, we can avoid both by adopting the attitude of Peter. You can avoid the mistake of walking away from Jesus. You can avoid the tragedy of betraying Jesus by doing one thing, choosing this day whom you will serve. Peter understood that Jesus was the Holy One of God. Peter understood that Jesus held the words of eternal life. Peter witnessed. He knew that Jesus lived a sinless life. Peter knew that Jesus died a sinner's death. And Peter knew that Jesus rose from the dead as a conquering king. Peter believed and he knew that Jesus was the Holy One of God. And my friends, you are faced with the same choice that Peter had. You're faced with the same choice that Judas had. Which one will you choose? Do you want to walk away too? I hope and pray not. I hope you choose this day to walk with Jesus. If you want to make that choice today to follow Jesus, so simple. Repent of your sins and believe. Amen. Repent of your sins and believe in the finished work of Christ, and the Bible declares you will be saved. Yep. And if you want to ensure that you never walk away from Jesus, that you never betray Jesus, then you spend the rest of your life never getting over the reality that you are saved. We preach the gospel every week here. We tell you this is how you can be saved. We tell you every week that Jesus lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death, and rose victorious from the grave. We do that every week, not just for the lost, but for the edification of the saints. We need to hear the gospel. Believers need to hear the gospel. We need to know the price that Jesus paid. We need to see what Jesus has done. We need to remember what Jesus did. He purchased a home for us. And we don't have to pay anything. Listen, if you want to ensure you never walk away or betray Jesus, then spend the rest of your life never getting over the fact that you are saved. If you want to be a faithful believer, it doesn't matter what doctrines you believe. Don't misunderstand me. Your doctrine does matter. But if you want to be a faithful believer, you need to go back to the basics. If you want to be a faithful believer, you know what holds us? You know what held me in the depths of despair? The basics. Yep. Jesus loves me, this I know. Sing it with me. For the Bible. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Never get over it. That song will hold you in the depths of despair. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. My friends, I'm going to end the way we started. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me, as for my wife, as for my son, we will serve the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for the day. Grateful for your word, a convicting word, a challenging word, as we see people walking away and reminded of Judas's betrayal. But God, there's great encouragement in this passage, the encouragement to be bold for you, to give a bold answer. Where would we go? Father, I pray that today and every day you would help us to choose to follow you. Remind us of the simple gospel. Help us never get over the beauty of the gospel. And help us never forget that Jesus loves us. Jesus died for us. Jesus rose for us. He purchased a home in heaven for us. And help us, Lord, to live the rest of our days serving you. We love you. We hand this time over to you. Pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.